By now, you've heard the phrase crisis king being tossed around quite a bit. Wouldn't it be great if a phrase like this was being invoked because the gospel is being understood by multitudes? Well, wouldn't it be great if people use the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in praise more so than people use it as a curse word in their households? Unfortunately, the usage of Christ as king is much closer to the latter. Christ as king is a Christian nationalist version of BLM. It is the same sort of trap with the same intention, to divide us. But let's back up. What you've seen explode over the last several years, riots, cities burned, forced pharmaceutical procedures, division to an unprecedented level, is designed to separate black and white, male and female, whatever that means, Christian and Jew, family member from family member, and you, yes you, from a constitutional republic. Most of you will remember that after the George Floyd incident in 2020, everyone and their mother was posting a black square on their social media accounts. Of course, as with any trap, many people would have done such a thing, not realizing what they were doing and going with the crowd. Some were making a statement, and others were just trying to avoid being cut off from everyone they knew after being presented with very little information on the occurrence, almost all of it being misleading. Little did they know, the crowd was led by Marxist revolutionaries that had you at knife point. And by knife point, I mean, as James Lindsay puts it, the end of a 200-year-long spear intended to rip civilization open. And that it did. What we've witnessed since 2020 is our nation bleeding out. We have witnessed our Constitution repeatedly attacked by both Marxists on the left and totalitarian Christian nationalists on the right. This is why CN, Christian nationalists, will often tout the insult, traditional conservatives worship the Constitution. No, we defend the Constitution because we enjoy worshiping and living freely. The revolutionaries on both the left and the right unadmittedly have the same goal, and that goal has a fancy label. Balkanization. What's balkanization? I'm glad I asked. It's a concept of fracturing and breaking apart our country as a classic divide and conquer strategy. It's a national divorce. It's like hitting a mirror repeatedly with a hammer until it's broken into many pieces, and then reforming and reshaping that mirror in a way that reflects something entirely different than what it originally did. It's separating people by whatever group necessary, whatever most useful or beneficial to the cause, and then turning them against each other. This is what is currently being done to your nation. Perhaps there's a reason conservatives and Democrats are being separated and sorted into different states and cities. Read the 2008 book, The Big Sword, for more detail. If you've ever heard the phrase, fight by flight, do yourself a favor and replace it in your head with, we've fallen for the trap, per usual. Perhaps there's a reason universities push to be separated by race. Perhaps there's a reason that Generation Z and younger generations view the older generations as evil, corrupt, sexist, racist bigots who have taken all the money and opportunity for themselves and use OK Boomer as yet another BLM or Christ is King phrase that disarms, dismisses, and discredits anything that someone over 40 years old may have said, thought, or done. Perhaps there's a reason there is a DEI captain at your workplace when Captain Crunch would have been perfectly sufficient if he weren't white and colonial. Perhaps there's a reason organizations are no longer judged by simply their profit margin, but rather an ESG score, environmental social governance, that is, a metric determining a company's future quote-unquote success based on whether or not they will play the game. Believe it or not, Disney and Bud Light don't do the things they do just because they're bored. When the only thing that isn't divided are public restrooms and locker rooms, you shouldn't just see a red flag, you should be waving one. If you'd love to believe this is all a conspiracy and everything will be fine, the economy will go back to normal, and the borders will seal up, and after all, everyone is just trying to help and be compassionate, we'll join the club. But you better start brushing up on your Chinese to get a head start. We can only bury our head in the sand for so long before the tide comes in. And it's approaching. Will you fall for every trap set before you, or will you be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove? So then, speaking of traps, what about the whole Christ is King saga? If you are a Christian as I am, you may hear the phrase and think to yourself, well, of course Christ is Lord and King. And so to that I would reply, amen, as must every Christian. But that isn't what's meant by the slogan, Christ is King. Just as one may proclaim the acronym BLM. Of course, every black life matters because every human being is created in God's image. But this isn't what's meant by the phrase BLM, is it? It's a trap to force you to support Marxism, as the founders of BLM openly said, but you should have figured this out before they willingly showed their hand. Well, you have another chance with Christ as King. What is actually meant should concern you. Your country, your freedom, your well-being will go bye-bye if we don't shine a light and expose what everyone knows is obviously happening around us, but for some strange reason, probably false comfort, is pretending isn't. Christ is King is the battle cry of the Christian nationalist, a movement that, despite its name, another trap, is not Christian nor patriotic. In fact, the term Christian nationalism was not coined by tough men with beards and big trucks. It was coined as a leftist trap that many professing Christians have walked right into and will continue to walk right into. It is a political movement disguised as a theological movement, but will end in the same distributist or communist quote-unquote utopia that the left is pushing for. The purpose is, you guessed it, Balkanization. We'll have our Christian nation, our Muslim nation, our LGBTQ nation, our black nation, our legal immigration nations, all with our own flags and anthems, mind you. But remember, when the slicing of the pie that is our nation is finished, it will be eaten, and not by you. The crux of this letter is that slogans like this are intentional, and they almost never mean what they look like they mean. That's the whole point of them. The same people at Doug Wilson's Moscow Christ Church who put up these billboards, Christ is Lord, that use the same style and font as BLM signs, mind you, are the same people at Christ Church that run Canon Press, who published Dr. Stephen Wolfe's book on Christian nationalism. Nick, don't you look silly challenging a billboard that says Christ is Lord. I mean, come on. Well, I've been called worse, but Muslims, Jews, atheists, and certainly us divine council nerds will be round up and killed for going against the new Christian consciousness of the nation. The Case for Christian Nationalism, Chapter 9. You left that part off the billboard, Pastor Wilson. Christ is King is Christian virtue signaling, and I use the term Christian generously. It isn't being made famous by humble pastors and monks. Look how and where it is being used. Andrew Tate recently said that as a Muslim, it warms his heart to see the resurgence of Christian declarations and posts on his Twitter, Christ is King. If you've been following the drama from Daily Wire, you've heard Candace Owens do the same. In fact, just the other day, she posts, quote, Christian nationalism is not and has never been a threat. Our country has collapsed because people who despise Christ moved him from the classrooms that encourage atheism and never-ending Protestant sects in his place. They lied about everything. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the Bolsheviks, all of it. This is good news, by the way, because it reveals how much they fear Christians uniting. Time is now. Christ is King. End quote. If you'd like to see a trap at work, well, there you go. Little does Candace Owens know that the people she thinks she's defending don't believe that a woman should be able to talk about theology. Now, what she did get right is they certainly do fear Christians uniting, which is why concepts such as Christian nationalism and phrases such as Christ is King have been invented to continually divide us. Candace Owens' tweet was reposted by Andrew Torba. Who's Andrew Torba? Andrew Torba is the founder of Gab Social Media and a known anti-Semite whose Twitter profile picture is currently an Inquisition warrior holding a sword at you. The Inquisition warriors that Candace Owens just suggested are friendly and loving. They're just misunderstood, after all. Well, Andrew Torba posts a perfect snapshot of what's going on by presenting a gospel passage on Good Friday about the Jews having crucified Jesus, highlighting Jews in yellow, of course. Never mind this being both Gentiles, Jews, believers, and even spiritual powers. On Good Friday morning, rather than posting a prayer recognizing in humility what our Savior has done for us, he posted a quote-unquote prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, who drivest not away from thy mercy even the perfidious Jews, Torba says. For those of you who are not English majors, perfidious means deceitful and untrustworthy. This was posted shortly after a video of a Catholic priest mocking Holocaust victims. Andrew Torba frequents the phrase, Christ is King, especially alongside anything having to do with Jews. He is a major figure in the Christian nationalism movement. Nick Fuentes, another frequenter of the phrase Christ is King, can be seen holding a cross with a crucified Christ on it leading a crowd, though this time not on the Capitol steps, in the chant Christ is King. Nick Fuentes is also openly anti-Semitic, and not only in terms of religious or doctrinal differences. In a recent video, in response to a listener remark on the Daily Wire's Andrew Klavan, Fuentes says, quote, shut the expletive up, freaking pagan. I hate that guy. He's such a smug, smormy, arrogant trash. That's the thing. That's one of the reasons people don't like Jews, is they're arrogant and they think they're better than everybody, end quote. There's something here you need not miss. Andrew Klavan was formerly Jewish, by religion, and converted to Christianity many years ago. What does that tell you? People like Nick Fuentes don't only hate the Jewish people because they disagree on the truth of Christ. They seem to hate the Jewish people to their very core in their ethnicity. They quite literally seem to hate their blood. I wonder if Nick Fuentes would have had these same words for Jesus of Nazareth. The phrase Christ is King, in its current usage, is not designed to proclaim that Christ is our Lord and King in a biblical sense. It is Christian nationalist virtue signaling. It is provocation rather than proclamation. For a group of men who desire to enforce blasphemy laws on the nation, they may want to start by practicing these laws on themselves. Jesus Christ is our King, and therefore we should be bothered to the pit of our core by blasphemy. The name of Christ is being used not only as a slap in the face, both to Jews, anyone in general who doesn't believe, and even Christians who do not fit the totalitarian mold, but as a term that would use the holy name of Christ for one's own purpose. This is exactly what God desired for us not to do when he commanded Israel to take his name with them in purpose and never in vain or emptiness. Christ's name is being used in the same regard that the Israelites in 1 Samuel 4 attempted to use the Ark of the Covenant. If you aren't familiar with that story, go and read it. They took the Ark, a symbol of God's holiness and very presence, out to the battlefield against the Philistines with no honor, respect, or reverence, and attempted to use it for their own purpose as a weapon, in spite of the God who actually dwelled in it. If you are moved to make a difference, then good. Do so in a Christ-like manner, not in a manner he would rebuke. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. And these men seem to have quite literally missed the way. The way is narrow, and it isn't paved by an angry mob. When dealing with wolves in sheep's clothing, let alone wolves in wolves' clothing, be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. Call out hypocrisy and guard yourself from it. Unironically, it wasn't the followers of Jesus chanting the phrase, Christ is King, in a provocative manner. It was those crucifying him. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, and don't be so naive as to think they don't exist today.